Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, it's weird when we don't have you saying, oh, like a spooky episode.
Oh, it is a spooky episode.
Exactly. Yeah. If you follow our Halloween content for the last 3 years, Jess always says spooky like that. And I have it in my head. I'm like a trained dog. Like, if you don't say it like that, then I don't feel like it's an actual spooky thing.
Yeah, it's our spooky episode, just a few weeks late here.
It's just like when we have Christmas shit and I keep making the same ho-ho-ho jokes. Rom-com Feb is definitely dead. But every single Christmas, I'm like, oh, like, you're with my favorite ho-ho-hos or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just tradition at this point.
Well, I think I'm going to give it up this Christmas.
No.
Are you in the Christmas spirit yet?
I am. I've dabbled with the Christmas music so far. Mm-hmm. We haven't decorated yet, but we've just had a busy weekend, so we haven't had time yet. But
did you like my Christmas tree? It's the same, but I put up my tree on the day after Black Friday. Shout out to my friend Christy for coming over and helping me. Thank you very much.
How fun.
Yeah, she came over and she helped me decorate it, and it was great. It's pink. It's always pink. It's not pink. It's just all the ornaments are pink.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have a single pink ornament, to be honest. I might have one. Mine isn't like as cohesive as yours is, I don't think, because like all of my ornaments are not like matching for the most part, if you know what I mean. They're like, oh, we went to this place and we got this ornament.
Yeah, there's two types of people in the world. Are you a like kitschy ornament person where you collect ornaments from your travels and it's really just a collection of memories, and that, or you're the type of person that has no soul and just decorates trees for the decor and there's zero memories associated with that? And like usual, Jess and I differ in our decorating.
Yeah. And also, remind me again, so the lights on your tree, are you an all white bitch? I can't remember.
Yes, of course I am.
Yeah,
I feel like colored lights give me the heebie-jeebies.
I grew up colored light family. I have since become a white light bitch because it just looks very classy.
Yes.
And I think it looks better with my ornaments.
I will be perfectly transparent. I, as you probably all know, am very Jewish, but this is my Hanukkah bush. And growing up, all I wanted in the world was to just be part of the holiday spirit. And I felt very left out where everybody got to decorate trees and everybody was like holly jolly. And my dad was very anti-Christmas tree. And he was kind of like almost like kind of anti-Christmas.
Oh my God, like a Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, because I think that he was just like, oh, all the attention just goes on Christmas. It's really annoying.
That is very fair. Whenever you go to the stores around this time of year, it's really sad because there's like one little Hanukkah section.
The end cap, yeah.
And it's like, it's all blue. And then like everything else is Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Right.
So like I understood where he was coming from for sure. That sucks. But also like do what brings you joy. You know what I mean? Like if who cares? At this point, we have evolved. You know, we have evolved beyond needing to be Christian to celebrate Christmas. Because in my opinion, and this is coming from someone who is not religious at all, Christmas is a vibe. It's an experience. It's a family thing. It's a friends thing. It's a community thing. Like, it's just like being cheerful in a time of year where we live, it gets really cold and really dark really early. And like, you kind of need the cheer in your life. Yes. And so to have something that is like all month long, you get to like listen to fun music, look at beautiful decorations. Like, it's not, in my opinion, for me, it's not about the religious aspect of that holiday. It is more about just like feeling cheerful for a month and buying gifts for people that you love and like just having a good time, you know, going to parties, eating yummy snacks. It's all good.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Well, what's partially about. Yeah. My dad's, what brought my dad joy during the holiday season is when all the dead Christmas trees got out to the front of the curb. He always said that was his favorite time of the year.
That's absolutely hilarious.
Probably where I get my sense of humor from a bit.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking Christmas. We're not even at Christmas in Dawson's Creek. We're in Halloween season. So yeah. I looked it up because I was curious, like, because like we talked about before, like these all aired kind of weird and out of order.
And okay.
The reason for this. So this episode is chronologically supposed to be fifth. And it was scheduled for Halloween, but it aired on the 9th, and they're saying that, it aired as the 9th episode, and apparently it was because of 9/11.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, Jess, because I came into this episode thinking that. However, they state in this episode that Dawson and Jen are away, which makes me feel like it does go but in the correct order.
But no, because Karen is around and Karen left.
But also it's a flashback. They're talking about what happened previously.
So then I really don't know. And I don't know if
it's confusing.
It is very confusing. All I know is it's out of order. It's a little wonky. It's fine.
Because I think that this simultaneously is happening while Jen and Dawson are in New Hampshire, and that's why they're not here.
I mean, I could see that. I mean, if we want to view it that way, then I would say, why not? Sure.
Sure.
But this episode also, like, we've talked about these Halloween episodes, and we've talked about the ones that Kevin Williamson did and like his impact on them because of Scream, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, and like he's very much a scary movie guy. Obviously, Kevin Williamson isn't here at this point. It's a season 5. This episode is completely fucking cracked. Like, this episode it has to be down there as one of the worst episodes of the show, Sarah. Like, it's so ridiculous and, like, in a way that makes you laugh, not scared, you know?
Well, that's what it is. I watched this episode after you, and you were like, oh, this episode's, like, so cracked basically, and I was like, oh no, not a scary thing. But I was watching it and it was kind of funny. And once again, I don't know, like, I think like I am just on this road of positivity that I've never been on in my life, and I was like, you know what, It might be stupid, but it's fun. And that's the point. Like, it doesn't move the ball forward in the story. It doesn't really matter. Like, it's kind of like a one shot. Like, well, we don't have to ever watch it again. But if we want to just say, like, is it a television piece of television that's entertaining? I would say yes. And I think that I'm probably going to be a little bit higher on it than I expected going into it.
I think one of my biggest issues with it is partly when it airs, right? Like, it airs right after we have the Jen and Dawson thing. And then we're like basically saying, okay, pause on that. We'll get back to it. In the meantime, watch this fucking episode that is absolutely insane and like supposed to be scary, but isn't. It's more like laugh out loud bad. Like, it really, really, really reminds me. And obviously Kevin Williamson wrote the other one, but like the episode, what was it, season one or season two, where there's like supposedly a serial killer and like all the lights get turned off and it's Dawson pretty having a huge prank or something.
I remember that. I think that was season one's Halloween episode.
Yeah, but I think so.
I totally understand where you're coming from with that, because once again, if I was a person that was watching this in 2001 and all I really wanted was to find out what's going to happen with Jen and Dawson, I do think that I would have been frustrated if I got this episode. So I can totally understand that. I also think that like, for me, it's probably less impactful because of that, because I'm just like, whatever. But I think back then, it would have been freaking annoying. It's like, hello, we just had this monumental situation and now we don't even get an episode. And I remember Temi proposed this this like riddle to us, as Temi likes to do, and he asked us, what character in Dawson's Creek do we think is going to be in every single episode of Dawson's Creek? And I remember saying, well, it has to be Dawson. It's after all his creek. He owns the entire creek. And that was my guess. And guess what? James Vanderbeek was not in this episode at all.
Yeah.
And even more so, it's not like we didn't see Jen. We didn't see just Dawson, because Jen was in the episode. And that's pretty shocking. So that begs the question, who is it? And I think that means that it has to be Joey. Joey Potter is the only character that's been in every single episode of Dawson's Creek.
It feels like it definitely has to be one of the trio, right? Like, if you're, because it can't, obviously it can't be Jack. And Jen feels like someone.
Sure, she hasn't been in every episode.
That's what I was thinking. I think Jen's been absent before.
I even think Pacey has not been in every single episode. I'm pretty confident
I think Pacey was missing from an episode, because I remember us being like, what the fuck, like Pacey isn't even here, like they just ignored him. So it has to be Joey.
So it has to, I guess, choice. That's the answer. Temi, if you want to leave a voicemail and let us know if we are correct now.
And we expect a ding 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 if we are correct.
Oh yeah, do you have any bells, Temi?
Well, I mean, I meant a verbal ding ding ding, but also a bell could work.
Temi, I need you to go to Amazon.com right now and buy some bells. It is the holiday season. You can probably reuse the bells for something else.
A little holiday cheer. Dawson was absent this episode. And it's interesting too, because like per the other Halloween episodes, he like loves Halloween. So it's interesting that he's the one who's absent here.
Where are you at, James Vanderbeek? What did you have going on? Why are you too busy for this episode of Dawson's Creek?
He's not into it, I guess.
He's like, I got better things to do. Yeah, I'm going to hang out with the basketball twins girls. Geez. Yeah, that they calm down.
Basketball twins.
Let's get into the episode.
Okay. So four scary stories here. Season 5, episode 9. We start out in Grams's, like, okay, every time they walk through this house now, I can't even help but notice how fucking massive it is.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Like, this would be so expensive in Boston.
Right. Because we're assuming it's like the center of Boston, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
So Yeah, so it's we have Jack, Joey, and Pacey coming in, and they're talking about Friday the 13th and like talking about the movie. And Joey, of course, Joey was just like, ugh, I'm so tired of this. Like, what are the chances of a chemically imbalanced camp director luring preteens to a bloodbath at the archery range? And they're like commenting on this film the whole time. Again, surprising that Dawson is not around for this.
Yeah, it did not. But I think it's because he was traveling. The only thing that I'm really recognizing in this scene is how dark Katie Holmes's eye makeup is. She, in the last couple of episodes, has been wearing really dark eye makeup. And uh-huh. I'm very impressed by it because Joey is not much of a makeup wearer. But now she is taking a liking to brown eyeshadow.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting because she very much used to be the character that like they would try to pretend like she wasn't wearing makeup. She definitely was wearing makeup, but it was like super subtle. And definitely now she's more into the heavy eye makeup.
Has to be a Audrey influence, right?
Ooh, I could see that. And I also think her hair is looking a lot better than it was early in the season, where like it was very obvious that her like roots were showing, and now her hair color looks a little bit more natural. Like it has like some reddish hues to it.
Yes. Yeah, lovely. But then her roots are showing, which is a good thing. It's kind of like a little bit of a shadow root. I think she's looking like very pretty in this episode.
Yeah. I love how we've automatically just stopped talking about the content of the episode and just been like, you know what? Let's talk about
I feel like Joey that's looks. Going to be a bit of it. Like, I don't know if we need to do a play-by-play this
We don't really.
Episode. Maybe we should go loosey-goosey. Let's go crazy.
Let's go loosey-goosey.
Let's go loosey-goosey.
Joey goes to find food for the group and they end up there's like this whole scene of like this basketball going down the stairs.
Basically what happened is that the boys are like, Joey, you're a scaredy cat, you've always been a scaredy cat, and Joey's like, I'm not a scaredy cat no more, like I'm a big girl, like I'm not afraid of nothing. And then they played a prank on her and basically had this like, it was a dodgeball or a kickball, that bouncy red ball.
Everyone had these in school. Like literally everyone had these.
Yes. And I don't know why we were throwing that ball at people's heads. Like it did not hurt like a mother effer, you know, in dodgeball.
Weren't allowed to play dodgeball in my school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it got banned because like too many kids got pummeled in the face with balls.
Did you play kickball?
At recess when I was
not in gym class.
No, I mean, barely. Usually we played kickball on a day where it was like, oh, we were supposed to go outside and do this activity, but it's bad weather, so let's do kickball.
Do you think that you would have been good at the kickball?
I was pretty good at kickball.
So I always, they roll the ball and then you have to, and it's underhand. It's not like it's overhand. So they roll the ball and then you have to kick it. It's kind of like baseball, right? Like it's kind of the same
sort of rules.
People
know how to play kickball.
I'm just saying maybe people don't know how to play kickball.
That would be a little weird if people didn't
know. The issue is that I always swung and a miss.
Oh,
and I
do think it's harder to do.
Embarrassed. And I always used to like cry in school. Because I always struck out and I felt so embarrassed. And then like I would like go off and strike out and like cry. And this happened like every single time.
Oh my God.
I'm just like outing myself. Yeah. Like I struck out in kickball a lot.
And do you think kickball is harder to kick it than it is like a baseball to hit it?
Mm-mm. To be honest, I hate baseball as well because I don't want balls plummeting at my face.
Well, they're generally not supposed to be aiming for your face.
You know, I was a lot more brave when I was a child. I'm not going to lie. So anyway, so basically the ball goes down and then Joey's like, oh, you're doing the shining thing. Also, it kind of reminded me of American Horror Story because there's a ball there. And then basically the ball goes outside the door. The boys are missing. And then this door slams behind her. So I think what happened is Pacey slams the door behind her And then, or I don't know, maybe it's the other way around. And then Jack, like, grabs her shoulder, and then Joey screams a really good scream.
It was a good scream.
Yes.
And this was the whole prank. Because they were like, oh, you've always been like a skittish kitten.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So they like laugh and joke like, ha, yeah, ha, 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 ha. And Joey's like, oh, now I'm going to get revenge on you.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't think Joey even knows how to get revenge. She's not much of a prank person, to be honest.
No, she definitely seems like someone who really hates pranks.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, you know what? Fine, I'll tell you a scary story. So we're going to get like the title insinuates four scary stories.
Yes.
Where Joey's story is, she's like going to the library with Audrey. Audrey, did you like Audrey's costume?
Well, I like the fact that Audrey refuses to wear like gross sticky blood.
Yeah, she's and like, I'm Carrie, but I'm not gonna be doused in pig's blood.
So she just looks like a beauty queen, right?
Yeah,
or a homecoming queen. And she was like, Joey was like, okay, so how would people know who you are? And then they're gonna be like, well, I'm just gonna tell them when they ask.
Yeah it's so funny. She's just like, I love this about Audrey. This feels very true to who we know Audrey to be, that she would be like, absolutely not, I'm not wearing the pig's blood. Like, I want to be cute Carrie, not sticky Carrie.
Exactly, yeah. And why would you want to be doused in fake blood anyway? That shit is staining and gross. But I do love her approach of just being kind of like a beauty queen. And if boys want to know who she is, they will just come up and ask.
Yeah.
That's the move.
And so Audrey walks like Joey to the library, and she's just like, I'm not going to be first to the party. Like, I have to be late. Like, she's very much like, I have to be fashionably late.
You have to be. Don't show up to any party the time of. You have to show up ideally like an hour after.
An
the
party hour? Starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm terrible at being the cool person at a party. I will show up exactly when the party starts.
You're early at the party. Are you always the first person at a party then?
No, I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of party, right? Like a family party,
that's like 3 hours late. I'm not fucking going to that party until I have to.
If it's a family party, I'm not the first one there because I my whole family is a bunch of earliers, so like I'm not even the earliest earlier. But like a friend's house, yeah, I'm always there early, sitting in my car waiting for it to be the time to go in. Because I'm a monster and I can't help myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, when it's a one-on-one type of thing, that's not a party. That's a hangout. Hangouts, yeah. I'm always early. Parties, you got to like, you know, play the field a little bit. You got to play chicken with yourself. You can't show up too early. You can't be a dweeb at the party.
I am the dweeb. Always the dweeb. So they're in the library and they're just like chatting. Joey's pants are really strange, by the way.
Okay. Her whole entire outfit is very strange. It's so weird and baggy. And I was trying to be like, what the fuck is she wearing? And then I realized it's so whoever the stunt double is, which I'm assuming is a smaller male.
Oh, so that they won't be given away.
Exactly. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. You're a genius.
That's exactly what that is. But the weirdest thing was like, because the sweater was normal to me because it's just like a baggy sweatshirt type of thing.
But for her.
Oh, it's very baggy.
Her fashion this season has been very tight fitting. So this outfit was so bamboozling.
Yeah, but the pants was weird to me because the pants look kind of like those tearaway pants.
Yes, remember how we always used to talk about how she used to wear Dawson's hand-me-downs?
Yes, this legitimately looks
this
like
is
Dawson's
hand-me-downs. And I really do think it's had to be something that a guy could wear to hide the fact that Joey is not doing like crazy high kicks.
Yeah, no, you're right. And Audrey is just like, listen, you like, she's like sticking around with Joey, and she was like, why should I be scared? And Audrey points out this old man eating peanuts in the corner looking sketchy.
Okay, peanut guy. This is the headliner of the entire episode. Why the heck is he eating peanuts in a library, like he's at fucking Texas Roadhouse. Well, and he's just like opening up all the peanuts. So much peanut dust everywhere, dropping the peanuts.
Yeah, you really shouldn't ever, ever be cracking open peanuts, like the shell peanuts, in a public place unless it's a restaurant that's offering them to you. Like, literally, that's a home snack.
That's a very messy snack. Number one, it's disrespectful because you know, even if you try to be as tidy as humanly possible,
it's fucking messy.
It's going to get everywhere. Number two, peanuts are a huge allergen. So the fact that you're eating peanuts in a public place is so disrespectful. What happens if one of these other studiers is highly allergic to peanuts and goes into anaphylactic shock? Is that the word?
You got it. Anaphylactic shock.
Yes. And just dies because peanut guy is eating peanuts. He's a cop. He should know better. He should get. Yeah. He should arrest himself.
And also, he should know that eating peanuts in a library looks super suspicious. And like,
it is suspicious.
This is why Audrey doesn't trust him. Like, it's just, even Audrey says, she's like, he's giving me the willies. Yes. And she's apparently, some girl was attacked in this library. And she's not the only one. And I'm like, where is campus security? Like, what is going on? Why do we have an undercover cop instead of just actual campus security? Because part of the point of like I'm sure you know, like if you're at a mall or at a store or whatever and they have the security guards, that's just so that to prevent people from even trying to shoplift. So why wouldn't they have like security posted to prevent this type of thing from happening?
I don't know. It's really just mayhem in this library, I think. Also, like, do we feel like Joey is a loser because she won't even consider going to this Halloween party? She's just insisting.
She's a massive loser. She's like, oh, you know what? This book is always like taken and I can't check it out of the library. I have to read it there. And it's always unavailable. And you know, the one time it'll be available, then like literally every other human being is having a fun time except me. What the fuck? Like, get up early or something on a different day, Joey. Like, this seems like the worst way to do this possible.
I know. And to be honest with you, all you really need to do is get the book and then go to the copier machine and then copy the pages. That's what we did in college.
Yeah, that's definitely the move. And so Joey ends up staying here like super, super late. Meanwhile, she still sees creepy old man and his massive pile of peanut shells.
It just gets bigger. Like, I promise you, if you think about how many peanuts you think that somebody would eat and then triple that, that's not even how many close.
It's
how
like
close.
A full, based on the a size of the bag. Sack, you could, it's like the size of a human head.
Yeah, I did. Every single time I see peanuts at a grocery store like that, I'm always very tempted, like, oh, like, do I want peanuts? And then I'm like, no, you freak. Like, you don't want peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so peanuts? This guy.
When's a good time to eat peanuts? At the baseball park. That's a good time.
Yeah. Or like you said, at like a bar that offers them or like Five Guys, they give you free peanuts.
Yeah. So this peanut guy, he comes up and he's like, do you have a pencil or a pen?
Yeah, he wants a pen, and then he still stands there. Again, if you are a cop, don't be such a weirdo. Don't be such.
I agree. He is not doing a very good job of making other people feel safe. So
in the way he says, like, you shouldn't be here after dark, it's not safe, it makes it feel like, because I'm a murderer.
Exactly. Not because, like, I'm a cop and I know better, and this guy that's watching you over there is actually the potential suspect. And he brings his peanuts to Joey. He has to snack in front of Joey, too.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Fucking peanut guy.
He just stares at her blankly. Yeah. And like, he's leaving such a mess all over the library floor while he's eating these peanuts in front of Joey. Like you said, very fucking strange behavior. And Joey's like very freaked out, rightfully so. So she goes to the super, super cute library worker. Yeah. Did you suspect? Okay. First of all, we need to comment on his sweater, because his sweater reminds me. Did you ever see Knives Out?
No, I actually haven't, but I want to.
You should. Second, well, okay. Secondly, before we get to why you should, do you at least know, because there was an infamous sweater that Chris Evans wore in the film?
No, I know nothing about Knives Out at all, actually.
Chris Evans wore this like corded ribbed sweater in the film, and everyone was obsessed with it because it was like it looked so comfortable, it looked so good on him, and people were like, I need that sweater, it looks so cozy. This reminds me of like an American Eagle version of it, like a very much cheaper version, but it kind of gave me the same vibes. And he's like a very cute, like bleach blonde library worker that obviously were like, oh my god, him and Joey should hook up.
Yeah,
but did you suspect him at all?
No, I mean, I was very distracted about the peanuts.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. The peanuts are distracting.
Yeah, I really don't think that was on to him. It totally makes sense when we go down the road of the story. But
yeah,
she goes up to him. She needs a reference book. He's going to get it for her.
Yeah, and she's like, this old guy's creeping me out.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps staring at me. And he's like, oh, he's here every night. He's harmless.
But that guy knows that the peanut guy is a cop. So then why is he like, if he was the murderer, wouldn't he be like, yeah, he is fucking creepy. Like,
you I didn't get it either.
Next to me, and then I'll grab you and then bring you to the back. Like, you would think like that's what he should do, but whatever. He's not a good murderer.
No, he's actually a terrible murderer.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
So then it is creepy, these scenes, because the library is completely empty. It's very quiet. Joey's walking around. And she keeps like getting like accosted by this dude.
Psst. Come here.
Can I give you a snack?
Yeah, it's like he's just standing there again, just staring at her and then going, psst, come here.
Yeah, and then Joey runs away.
These like Bambi deer eyes.
Yeah, it looks very tan this episode as well.
Yeah, and so she straight up runs. She sprints again. She's a runner. This is Joey. She loves to run.
Yeah.
She runs into the library guy and she's like, oh my god, that guy's following me, he's creeping me out. And the library guy's, oh, I can call like campus security. She's like, no, I'm fine. And so he offers to like walk her down to where this book is, and she says no.
Yeah, it's in special, what is it called, like special edition, and it's only open for 10 more minutes.
This is ridiculous.
Fascinated by the layout of this library, because you have like a regular library and then you go downstairs and it's like the catacombs down there.
There's like these paintings of all these old white men, like it's really weird.
Big heavy doors with like special writing. It's fascinating down there.
Yeah
and each of the doors ridiculous. Have like special words on them. Like I see Worthington collection, obviously special editions, and they're behind once again big heavy wooden doors. It's very fascinating. It also kind of looks like a creepy mansion down there.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to the door, it's locked. That's my biggest issue. Just because you have 10 minutes left of your shift, you gotta be there for the full 10. You can't duck out.
You have people in the library.
No, people are relying on you. It's you know, special studying time.
Yeah. And so Joey is still again running all over the library. She bumps into Peanut Man and she and so then she runs in the opposite direction and then bumps into library worker guy again. Yeah.
What do you think about the move of hiding in the maintenance closet? I feel like this is a classic trope. You always have to hide in the maintenance closet. Just don't do it. It's not safe in there.
Yeah. It's a terrible idea. I feel like it's you're cornering yourself for easy access, you know?
Yeah. Right. So she runs into the library man and she is like, I'm so happy to see you. That creepy guy is down there.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Well, he says, yeah, I followed you when I saw he followed you. And
yes,
this is like the best part coming up. So then creepy library dude punches peanut guy.
Yes.
Oh no, peanut guy punches library dude.
Phone book. You forgot to mention that he freaking pops out of nowhere, has a phone book in his hands, and full on whacks him in the head.
and then is like, it's crazy. So then they run away together.
Right. Because then, right. So then cute guy gets back up, punches creepy guy, and it's just like, come on. And so Joey runs with him and they go to the door where, like, instead of unlocking it and leaving, he locks it.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walks like menacingly towards Joey and,
yeah, he starts getting feisty. He's like, so you like to pick a fight? You know, I like that in a girl.
Yeah. And we find out that the guy was a cop. Yes. That guy. And she's like, oh, so you're the guy who attacked that girl last semester. And I'm like, why was he never a suspect? He literally works at the library.
You would think that he would be the first person that you kind of bring to the
That's what I'm saying. How is he not questioned immediately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, shh, don't tell anybody. It's like, well, actually, the cop is already on to you because he's been watching you.
Truly, this is so stupid. And so he like, he's like, don't tell anyone. And she hauls off. She kicks him in the nuts.
Oh, then this she shoves sent him. Me. This sent me. When she kicked him in the head, I paused the show. And I never do this. I paused the show and I cackled loudly and laughed and laughed and laughed. I thought that was the funniest shit I've ever did see. Because it's Joey Potter. It's Joey Potter freaking doing a roundhouse kick to his face.
Yeah. This was so funny. Like, just...
Yeah.
It's so obscene and ridiculous. Yes. She has like a, so she kicks him right in the face and he falls backwards and she has like a, she like has been throwing books at him. She throws a card catalog at him, which he catches, which if you're young and you don't remember what a card catalog is, this is before we had computers. You had like, there were sections and it was alphabetized and there were little cards and that would tell you like where the book was and what it was named and all that.
Yeah. Dewey Decimal System, baby.
Yeah. And so he's holding the card catalog when she kicks him in the face and then the cards go everywhere.
Everywhere. And then he's laying on his back, like arms behind his head on the ground, cards everywhere. And then the cop comes up and he's like, you pretty much crouching tigered his ass.
Yeah. And Joey's like, oh yeah, that kickboxing class paid off. And I'm like, what kickboxing class?
What are you talking about? And the line delivery of this, like, she looks, has never looked more sultry, like, in this moment. I don't know. There's something about it. She looks gorge. And that's her story. And I want to know, is Joey Potter, how much of this is fabricated?
I think, I at least think it's exaggerated, if that makes sense. Like, well, 0% chance she kicks him straight in the face like that.
That part very much felt like, oh yeah, like, and then, like, and then, like, I kicked him in the face and he fell back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I felt a little exaggerated.
The peanuts seems like a real detail.
Well, you can't make up the peanuts. It's That's kind of I'm like saying. Stranger than fiction type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think any of this happened. I think that she just made up a story, right? Like, she had to.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense that she, because she, you know what it, you know what it was? Okay, I know what it is.
What's that?
She hates being made fun of for being like so scared all the time and like not having any good scary stories. So this is the tea. She did go to the library on Halloween to read this book, but literally nothing happened besides there was an annoying guy in the corner eating peanuts. And so she like takes that tiny detail and morphs it into this entire story to be like, yeah, this is what happened. And like, she makes the guy cute on purpose.
Mm-hmm. I will say that empty libraries are creepy. Like, you, especially, I remember in college specifically doing all-nighters at the library, and it was creepy. Like, I can totally understand like how she got this story.
Yeah.
Because it's very scary, and college libraries are often really large, and there's a lot of corridors where you know, very quiet. So I can understand where the story came from. Yeah. Overall, like, I guess my question is this scary? Is the story scary? And number two, I want to rank these stories and say, like, who really did tell the best scary story? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was this scary to you?
Like, a little, but not really.
Yeah.
It was mostly silly.
Rapey peanut guys are objectively scary, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that the fact that, like, you know, sexual harassment on campus is a very real, I think it could be a very realistic story.
Yes.
This was the only story that made me actively cackle loudly. So I think yeah. remove some stories. So I would say, like, it was a little scary because I feel like it could be real.
It could happen. Here's the thing. On the believability, in my opinion, there's a difference between the believability scale and the scary scale. Right. This has believability, which I guess inherently makes it a little scary because it's realistic that it could happen.
Wait, isn't that kind of what Graham says later? She's like, the scariest thing is when you're at a location that feels safe, because that's when, like, you, whatever. I don't know what Graham said. It was very eloquent, and I'm not eloquent like Graham.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah. So when there's, like, a factor of truth in it, that's when the stories are the scariest.
This is fair. I could see that. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So yeah, so that's where we are with Joey. Let's get into Jack's story.
Yeah.
Because also, one more thing. His next.
They put so many candles. This house is going to burn on fire.
It's so many candles.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jack's like, you know what? The fraternity house is so much scary.
There's many horrors there. Yeah.
I love Joey saying, I assume you're talking about keg stands and roofies. Like, which, yeah.
I mean, yeah. All right, so let's get into Jack's story. Jack has the fucking flu and is sick as a dog, and he has to do this, like, they're getting hazed, essentially. They have to clean out the basement. Like,
going through a bunch of shit.
I've always heard of this at fraternity houses and whatever, that you always have to, like, clean the basement. It's such a trope. I have no idea if any frat guys have ever cleaned a basement, but apparently it is. Because all the other guys are, like, in tuxes and they're going out, but then the pledges have to go, once again, clean the basement. So Jack is downstairs with two frat brothers that we've never met before. No clue who these guys are. One of them is, like, seems like a very nice, normal guy. And the other one is, like, kind of a fucking rat that is, like, forcing his, like, creepy whiskey flask on people.
Yeah, he's like, here, it'll kill the virus, Jack.
It's like, do you want to share your flask with somebody who's got the freaking flu?
Yeah, even pre-COVID, this is a really dumb idea to be like, put your mouth on this flask while you have the flu. Yes. And he's like, here, take this. After Jack has said, no, I'm on, like, cough medicine, which, like, you definitely don't want to mix those two things. And the guy's like, don't be a wuss. We're at the peak of our sexual primes.
Sure, that has nothing to do with drinking in the morning. I mean, you're hanging out with your frat bros. Like, what are you talking about? And I love how the other guy, the normal guy, is just like, yeah, this is literally peer pressure.
Yeah, and then he gives into it.
He's like, you know what? This peer pressure is working for me. I'll do it.
Yeah, so they drink some whiskey. At least he pours it into a shot glass so they're not sharing.
Okay, at least, yeah, I know. But also, like, it has his germs in it.
Also, I have a theory that this entire thing is in Jack's mind, considering he's on really heavy cough medicine and just drink alcohol.
I assumed that as well, but yeah. Also, I kind of love a ghost story. So.
It's also stupid. They're looking at this like portrait from the class of 68, and so it's like black and white of all these old fraternity brothers.
Yeah, and the normal guy is like, "Haley, that's my dad. He's a legacy." Do you know what a legacy is?
I do. It's when you join the same fraternity or sorority as your parents pledged.
Right. Or you can also be a legacy if like your aunt is there or if your sibling is there. So aunt or uncle or whatever. So yeah, like he's a legacy.
Listen, I watched Sex Lives of College Girls. I know all about this stuff.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's like, "Oh my gosh, my dad was such a freaking dork. He looks like a hippie." I'm like, "Yeah, bro, because it's 1968. You wish that you were there in 1968.
Yeah, there were definitely way less rules in 1968. And so they're like, "Oh, wasn't that the same?" And this is so funny to me that there would be a character who's like, "Wasn't that the same year that some guy like killed himself?" And I'm just like, how would you even remember that 1968?
Well, I'm sure there's like, oh, so many, you know, stories within the house. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, also, there's a level of like history that you have to memorize. Oh, so
maybe it is something that they have to know.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
He was like a total psycho. His roommate boffed his girlfriend, which I assume means fucked.
Yeah. Boffed. His roommate fucked his girlfriend, and he got so mad about it that he killed himself. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
No, he shot them. I don't know.
Well, no, it's so there, we're hearing two different stories. One was saying he like cut his wrists. The other was saying that he hung himself. And so like, I don't really know which one is true. But Jack's not feeling so good. And the freaking jerky guy is like, "This is a vomit free zone." All right. It's like, bro, you're the one who just gave him fucking alcohol when he has the flu after he took cough medicine.
Yeah, Jack is looking very nauseous in this.
And so this bathroom,
it is so gross and creepy.
This is a prison bathroom. There's literally, it's a small cell with a toilet that doesn't even have a lid. And it's just the toilet and the sink and this like shady ass bar bathroom and the light bulb. There's not even a light fixture. It's just a hanging light bulb.
Yeah, this is what happens when you use all of your budget on the upper floors and the basement is just a crack den.
It's truly, truly horrifying. It looks like, it reminds me of like a creepy bar bathroom or like if you're stuck, if you're being held captive in a basement, this is what the bathroom would look like.
It's terrible. It's awful. So he doesn't barf, but he like, you know, wets his face and then he comes out. The guys are gone. Nowhere to be found. Oh, wait, I forgot. And then there's like this creepy shadow figure that like runs behind him.
Yeah, because of course there is, because it's a scary episode.
Yeah.
And so he's like looking for the guys. And I'm very curious to know, did you realize at this moment that like the decor was off, that like it looked very different?
It looked different? I didn't. No, I don't think I caught on.
Well, there's like 60s music playing.
That was a tell for me. I don't know. Like, so he drops the portrait, or the wind drops the portrait. It cracks,
right.
And he's looking at it. And he puts it on the rocking chair, and yeah, the radio turns music from like 90s music to more like 60s, like doo-wop type of whatever music. I don't know.
Yeah. And he hears something like coming from the closet and he opens it up and there's
a kid.
There's a kid in there and like, he has like
tied
tape.
Up.
Yeah. And he has tape on his mouth and everything. He's just like, how did you get in here? And he's like, oh, there was guys like hazing me. I think I passed out. And Jack is just like, what the fuck? He's like, who did this? And the guy's like, I don't want to say, I'm a new pledge.
He's like, but I'm a new pledge too. And I've never seen you before. And the other guy was like, I've never seen you either. And it was kind of funny because I was just like, I still did not catch on. I was like, And this conversation between the two of them where the kid was like, yeah, like, you know, they hate me. Like, all the guys are like so mean to me. And then Jack was like, that's wild, man, because everyone's nice to me. It's like, okay, Jack, just because everybody's nice to you doesn't mean that like everybody is like treated well. You're just like the cool guy. Also, wait, the mullet is back. Can you believe it?
Wait, the mullet. Hold on. Let me see a picture of, I'm waiting to see Jack. Yeah, it is a little long. Oh, well, the mullet is back because they filmed this before he cut it off.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. That's, yeah. He has his like, the Shirley Brady or whatever, the mom Brady. What's the mom?
Carol Brady.
Carol, the Carol Brady flip.
It really is a Carol Brady. Yeah. Yes. It's hideous and I hate it. Yeah. I don't want to.
So basically, they have this conversation where the kid is like, yeah, they're hazing me. Everybody's so mean to me. And Jack is like, no way. Like, everybody's so nice here.
And he's like, well, why, if they hate you, why would they pledge you? And because he's a legacy. His dad was a founding member of the fraternity, which this is where Jack should have been sus, because if he was a founding member of the fraternity.
That was the line that I actually caught on to.
Yeah, because it's like, damn, that's a long ass time ago.
Well, yeah. And also, I was just like, at first I was like, wait, how does that math? Because I was like, is this like a new fraternity? Yeah. But like, that didn't make sense. So yeah, that's kind of something that I picked up on. And this guy is like really hurt and Jack keeps wanting to get him water or get him help. And the guy is very much like, don't get help. Like, I don't need anything. And basically he tells the story that why everybody hates him is because he came out to his roommate as being gay and everybody just started like hating on him. Mm-hmm. And Jack is like, that's impossible. Like, I got recruited because I'm gay and like everyone's super nice to me. Oh, and this is the other line that I really like. He says, plus we're like, what's the big deal? We're living in the 21st century. And the kid is like, well, maybe you are.
Yeah, that was so funny.
It's like so subtle, but like very obvious as well.
Yeah.
And basically the kid is like, I like, no way. Like, you're gay too. And the Jack is like, so yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I wish, and so I wish cool there's guy. More guys like you here.
So stupid. So Jack is like, okay, I'll be right back. And so he's about to call, make a call on the cell phone. And he notices that photo is now like all back perfect. Together.
So yeah, like, it did not break. He said, that's weird. And then he looks at it. And then what happens, Jess?
Tad is in the photo.
Also, his name is Tad. Fuck you. That's a terrible name. It's an awful name. Yeah,
Tad has been through enough. And now you're going to roast him for his name that he didn't even give himself?
I mean, like, I would beat him up just because of his name. It's such a bad name.
Tad isn't that bad. I have family members named Tad. I think Tad's okay.
That's a terrible name. You're so close to Todd. Just go for the normal Todd. You know, don't be a Tad.
Okay, what's worse, Tad or Tag?
Tad or Tag?
I think Tag is worse.
I think Tad is worse.
Really? Do we need to have a poll about this? Tad or Tag? And see what people say.
Oh, God. I mean, they're both really shitty names, to be honest with you.
I would rather be called Tad than Tag. But I think we need to put up a poll in the middle of the podcast so people have no reference. Do we say
what's a better name or what's a cooler name?
Cooler, I think.
What's a cooler name for...
Oh, no, maybe not cooler. Well, yeah, what's a better name? Because cooler is different.
I know. That was actually a trick on you because I think Tag is a cuter name than...
Tag is cooler.
It's a cooler name than...
Yeah, no. What's the better name? Tad or Tag?
What's a better name?
This is what we're doing in this episode human because this episode is so stupid.
Man. I just want to be like human.
I'm sorry,
man.
You asked for a human.
Because like we're like dog, like the dog. Names. These are dog names.
Tag is a much better dog name.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the it's Tad or Tag?
Yeah, literally the T-A-D or T-A-G.
Do I put the neither in there?
No, you don't want to give people the option. Don't give them an out.
All right,
I force them to make a decision.
This is so bad. These are both terrible names.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes, Jack is like, no way, when he sees Tad in the picture. And then he runs back. He pulls a Joey, goes to see if Tad is there. Tad is nowhere to be found. So then he goes back to the creepy basement. And then the music switches from the 60s music yes. back to the 90s music. And then he's like, whoa, what happened? Yeah. And that's Jack's story.
Yeah. And Pacey's just like, listen, that was a great urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It's not, I mean, it was a great story. Now, was it scary?
No. It was scary and like hate crimes are scary.
This is just like a political.
It's a very political episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know, what are we concerned about in college settings? Hate crimes, yes, and sexual harassment, correct. Yeah. But I thought it was a little scary. I liked this one a lot, actually. It got me in with the
very, like, we've seen this a million times on TV.
I liked it. I thought it was. No, I wouldn't say it was fun. I
thought hate crimes are so fun.
I thought that it was an endearing story. I had the fraternity setting, which, you know, gets me every time. I like ghost stories. I think ghost stories are more interesting than like murder stories, you know, because like ghosts always have like shit going on. They have baggage. I mean, like, you know, serial killers have baggage too, but like, you know, I'd rather have ghost baggage.
I guess for me, it was a little too overdone for me to enjoy it.
I disagree. So how would you, finish your sentence.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, like if we're rating them, I think like for me as a woman, Joey's story is scarier.
Oh, but okay, hold on. Once again, scarier? Are we ranking scary or better?
Oh, like, interesting.
What did we enjoy more?
Maybe we need to do both. Okay. I think Joey's story is scarier. Mm-hmm. But the more interesting story, I guess, is Jack's. Although I thought Peanut Guy really kills it for me. Like he absolutely slays the competition.
I mean, I prefer Jack's story.
I'll let you have it. Okay, so we're gonna have the scarier one be Joey's, but the better one be Jack's so far.
Sure, yeah. Like, I think that I would rather watch and listen to Jack's story.
Okay.
It's a ghost.
It is a ghost. And then
and
we
the
get to
time, the time shift, that's very interesting.
It is. Okay. So then we get back to the trio and we have Pacey, who was just like, listen, that was great and all, but you know what? I have to tell you about my story. And one of my favorite entire lines of the episode is when he's just like, you know what? It was the last time was this one night with Karen. And Joey goes, who's Karen? And Pacey says, do you really want to have that conversation?
I thought that was good too. And I think like it kind of makes sense because like Karen is gone and she would be like, wait a minute, like I didn't know like this Karen. He's like, oh, you don't want to hear
who the
about
hell's Karen.
I like that too.
So funny.
And he says that urban legends are the scariest story,
which I guess like I could see that being true just because it's like, oh, it gets passed down over and over and over again and it gets bigger and bigger every time, like I could see his point.
This one
I think is very scary, where we have,
are
like,
you kidding me? This is okay, let's go forward.
So him and Karen are driving Danny's car and he's giving her a ride home. And they're driving, whatever. This is like a BMW or something like that.
Yeah, Danny owns a BMW and his wife, well, actually, this is his wife's car. Danny apparently owns a Porsche.
Fancy.
Which is in the shop.
So this whole thing is ridiculous. So they're driving and they pass another vehicle and the lights on the car were off.
Yes.
And so Pacey does the like flashing his lights.
Yes.
Now, where I come from, the sign of flashing your lights means watch out, there's a cop positioned.
I've never heard that before.
Oh my gosh, what?
So
you've never heard that, like, if there's
if your lights are off, or if your lights are, what is it, your lights are on?
No, so, like, so what I'm saying is, let's pretend it doesn't matter whether or not the car your comes lights, in your
so
direction.
If you just flash your lights, and then that's like, oh, there's a cop.
Exactly. So if I'm driving and I pass a cop who's, like, hidden waiting to get somebody, and I continue going, I flash my lights at everyone I pass to be like, hey, don't speed, there's a cop.
How many people do you have to do that for?
I usually just count. So it's not necessarily the number of people, it's the distance. So the further you get away, the less likely you are to keep flashing. I just do it for, like,
you
the first
still
little
do this?
Bit. Of course I do this. It's common courtesy.
I've never heard this before.
You've
in my
never
life.
Ever heard this?
No.
I need a second poll.
This is some upstate behavior if I'd ever
no,
did hear
we
it.
No, we need a second poll.
I've never heard this before. Now, this urban legend is the most urban legendy urban legend that ever urban legend.
It's horrifying.
Well, have you never heard about this? I've heard about this forever.
I've never heard about
really?
This.
Really? This is the biggest urban legend that ever did happen.
Well,
so
I love how we have opposite experiences here. Yeah, this is crazy.
No,
I've never heard of this
you
before.
Never. Okay. Well, okay. So, like, the only time that I flash my lights at somebody is, like, if we're both trying to, you know, pull in somewhere at the same time.
Oh, and you're
and
like, you go ahead.
You go ahead. That's the only time I flash my lights. But you never, ever, ever flash your lights at somebody who has their lights off. And the reason is, I've always heard that it can be a gang-related thing, which is what Karen said.
Yeah.
Or that, like, you do it and then you're targeted by a murderer.
See,
and that's, like, the urban legend. Like, you don't do that. Or also I've heard that you flash a light at somebody if the person that whose lights are off, it has something to do with, like, somebody that's hiding in the back seat. Like, you flash your lights at somebody if the person sees that there's, like, a murderer in your back seat.
That's horrifying.
I know.
I've never heard of this.
Well, this is, like, widely, this is the biggest urban legend. And that's why I wasn't impressed by Pacey's story. Because I was like, Pacey,
like, so
you
common.
Are taking the most common urban legend that's ever existed and retelling the story. I'm like, I've heard this a billion times. I've seen this in media a billion times.
No.
Most recently, American Horror Stories, which is once again different from American Horror Story, which is so dumb, did an episode about this urban legend.
I've literally never, ever heard
really?
It before. And I wonder, too, like you said, oh, is that an upstate thing? I wonder if, like, it wasn't common up here because, like, you live closer to New York City. Like,
or,
I'm just saying,
like Newark because of gangs. Or
new. That's what I'm saying. Gang activity in upstate New York. Like,
yeah,
there's just not a lot of it. And so I wonder if that's why I've never heard this before. But that is absolutely fascinating that you were like, oh, everyone knows this. And I'm sitting here like, I've never, ever heard that thing. I thought they made this up for the episode.
Well, okay. So, like, let's just go through it. Like, Karen and Pacey are driving. They see this car, but their lights off. Pacey does the courtesy thing of being like, hey, your lights are off, just so
which
you
I
know.
Feel like to me makes no sense to flash someone with their lights are off, because it's like, when they know their lights are off, they can't see anything. Like, the only time I've heard of flashing, so besides the cop thing that I mentioned, the only other time I have flashed my lights is if I'm driving at night and someone has their high beams on and they're facing me. I will turn my high beams on to be like, hey, motherfucker, you're blinding me. You know, but that's the only other time I've done it.
Well, so, but Karen knows this and is like, don't do that because now you're getting targeted. You're going to get targeted.
Yeah,
and
they're going to run you off the road because it's a gang initiation.
Or something. Yeah, like that's what, and once again, that's why I've always heard. So Pacey's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And then long story short, this becomes a high action car chase.
This is crazy. So this car follows them and starts like ramming. Okay. And this is why this was scary to me. I have like weird fears concerning cars. Like a lot of the time, like I'm very afraid I'm going to die in a car accident.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just have like fears surrounding cars a lot. I get very paranoid that like cops are going to follow me. I don't get paranoid about like this situation, like a random person following me and smashing
the
car.
Will.
But now, yeah, now I will. And so this car like smashes into them. And so they like, Karen, this is absolutely insane to me that like Karen eventually takes the wheel. I'm like, this is so dangerous. And like pulls it to the side so that they go off to this like truck stop. But I'm like, Karen, you could have said to PC, like, turn here. It's so much more dangerous for her to grab the wheel.
Yeah. I mean, idiotic. So they go to this little diner. And Pacey goes and looks at the back, and the paint, it's there's no dent, but it looks like the paint got scraped off. And he's like really worried about it. And then they are going to,
they don't have cell service, so they need to make a call on a payphone, but it's out of order. Who are they trying to call?
Danny?
I think they're just trying to call somebody. Okay, yeah.
So they're trying to call somebody. So they go inside, and everybody is staring at them.
This is insane. This makes no sense to me that everyone is going to look at them.
White people. And at first I was like, are they staring at them because like, they look like an interracial couple. And then there's like this like one black guy that kind of looks like the guy from The Office, Stan.
Stanley?
I had to look it up. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this like
is that
cameo?
Stanley? It creeps me out the way all these, first of all, it's really late at night and this diner is fucking full.
It is bopping.
That guy does look like Stanley.
Yeah. It's very like Children of the Corn. Like everybody's like creepy. Everyone's like staring at them. They try to make a collect call. And then it doesn't work. And then there's like all of these like symbols or like hints all over the place. Like there's a diner sign and all the letters go out and it just says die.
There's a like a straight up devil clock that has a beard.
That looked like the New Jersey Devil. Have you ever heard of the New Jersey Devil?
What is the New Jersey Devil?
Okay, so this is like a New Jersey urban legend. I think like New Jersey's very into urban legends, to be honest with you. So like I think that like so you know like the hockey team, the Jersey Devils?
Yes.
So it's based off of the urban legend of the New Jersey Devil. Long story short, like some like woman gave birth to a devil and something like, and there's this a devil in New Jersey that is just like terrorizing people, and you can't go into a forest because you're going to a certain forest. I don't remember which one, because you're going to find the devil, the Jersey Devil.
Okay.
You've never heard of this before?
Never heard of this. No.
Yeah. There's so many New Jersey urban legends. There's actually a book called Weird New Jersey where it like talks about all the New Jersey urban legends. I forget that like New Jersey is so into urban legends.
New Jersey loves an urban legend, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like, and like this Weird New Jersey book like outlines all these places where in New Jersey there's urban legends and you can go to it. And there's always something. Like there's this there's like this scary road that we always used to drive on, but it's like so frightening because like all these people like got murdered or died there, and you go at night and then like people like say that they've seen like ghosts. And there's this other story that if you put your car on neutral on this certain hill, then instead of going back or staying put, it moves you forward up the hill because of dead Native Americans.
I want to know if people do this often.
Oh no, we used to do it all the time.
And did you go backwards in neutral?
No, we went forwards because of the ghost Native Americans. I forgot that.
I hope that people don't have the like pause like skip is set up in their podcast app so they can actually experience that pause that happened.
This is why we need to start doing this on video. Because like I'm just so passionate about like the New Jersey urban legends, and you're just like staring at me, and we just had like a second of we were just staring at each other.
We just stared at each other. That was the whole thing.
I'm like fully convinced that all of this is real. God. So also the payphone is out of order, but they spelled order O-R-D-A-R. Odar.
Yeah. Also the when we're getting this weird little like sequence of weird things, the calendar.
Wait. Yes.
It's from 1966.
Right. So then I was like, wait a minute. Like, what is this like parallel universe going on in here? But also, why is October 12th red?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I don't know why, but it is weird.
Is that a holiday?
The coffee is like overflowing. The burgers look burnt to a fucking crisp.
Lots of weirdly B-shot imagery happening.
Yeah,
here.
Very, very weird. And so then we have like they notice that the car that was following them is now outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pacey loses his mind and just shouts at everyone, which one of you is it? Which one of you inbred redneck freaks smashed into my car?
You're not going to make any friends here.
This is terrible. And so a guy walks up to them and he's just like, get out of my place.
But also, like, if the car was there, like, would you really assume that the dude is in here? I thought that he was still in the car.
I would assume he was waiting outside for me, like, ready hiding to behind murder my car.
You. Yeah. And then Stanley, like, really stares at them. And yes. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, Stanley does give him a good stare. And so they get back in the car and they start driving. Again, it honestly kind of looks like the road that Mitch died on. And I feel like they shot it on the same road.
Too soon. You're probably right.
And so then as they're driving, suddenly the Mustang is there facing them. And it's just like waiting. You can't even see a person in the car either.
Yeah. Also, PC tooth shamed the guy.
Oh, he definitely tooth shamed.
You know what? Dental care in America is very expensive, and it's not it's basically a luxury to have good teeth in the USA. So Pacey, don't get on the case about him seeing a dentist. Maybe he can't afford a dentist.
Yeah, maybe he can't. So then we get like them like revving their cars at each other,
mm-hmm.
and they play chicken.
Yeah.
And Pacey somehow like is just like, okay, we made it, and they like go off the road, and then Karen is just like, pop the trunk. Why Danny has a baseball bat in his trunk, I don't know, but Karen
Danny
whips
plays
it
Little
out.
League, like there's like a company, like a restaurant, like local baseball league,
and plays in it. Yeah,
Danny plays on Thursdays. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yeah, and so Karen goes over with the bat and is just like ready to beat this guy's ass. She's like, get out of the car, and so Pacey opens the door. And there's no one in there.
Crazy. So what is it? Is it a ghost? Where did the person go? Will we ever know?
No. We don't know.
Because then it flashes forward and Pacey's like, that was a scary story.
Yeah.
So you were scared.
I was scared because of the thought of someone following me in the car. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's very realistic to me to happen. I don't really go to the library late at night on my own. I'm not in a fraternity. So this one feels like the most likely thing to happen to me.
Okay. Right. And like we're saying, like what's scary in this world is like what can actually happen.
Exactly.
I mean, I think like once again, like my biggest thing was like, ugh, like not this urban legend. You've heard this a billion times. So that's why I think I personally ranked this one last. Because I was like, not this again. But I can see like this would be scary for somebody that doesn't know this story or doesn't know this urban legend. But to me, if I had to be like, okay, Sarah, like pick an urban legend, it would be this or the Jersey Devil. I can't believe you've never heard of the Jersey Devil. Where do you think, like, why do you think that it's called the New Jersey Devils?
I don't know. Why does anybody have these stupid fucking mascots? Like, I don't know.
Well, Long Island is the Islanders because they are on Long Island.
Wow, imaginative.
Exactly. So, like, they come from something.
I just I don't think about sports, shockingly. I don't think about them. So we're back to the three of them. And one of my favorite lines Joey says is, yeah, you know what? We're all just so immune to media now. Suddenly it's normal to see people guzzling blood on primetime. And I'm like, what the fuck is Joey watching? Was she watching Survivor where they have to, like, drink the milk blood?
Maybe. Or Fear Factor?
Do they drink blood on Fear Factor?
I don't know.
Regardless, don't drink blood. That sounds disgusting.
No, that's not safe. But you're right. It could have been that. And then, oh, wait. We didn't even talk about the fact that they were making fun of Joey, that she's still afraid of Grams. That was funny.
Yeah, they were. And so then, of course, that's when Grams comes in.
Yeah, Grams comes in. And she's like, you're telling ghost stories? I have a... You all are novices. I have, like, a really good story.
Yeah, she's just like, you know what? You are so young. You can't possibly have any good scary stories because you're too young to have any scary stories to experience anything. She's like, let me tell my story. Well, actually, it's Jen's story. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. She's like roasting everybody that they're too young. And then she doesn't even tell a story that is like, oh, I have so much life experience, but I'm not going to tell a story from my day. I'm actually going to tell Jen's story.
Also, if I'm Grams and I'm coming home to my house and they have this many candles lit, I'm like, what in the fuck?
She's like, I'm going to have to up my home insurance because of the potential fire.
Yeah, actually, on top of that, like, you're wasting all my good, like, blackout candles.
Oh, I have an insurance question.
Okay.
If you have that many candles lit and your house burns down to a crisp, you are not getting insurance money, right?
No, you still would, yeah.
Really? Because you're causing it because of how many candles
you have. It's still accidental, unless you do it on purpose.
Allegedly. I don't know. That's a lot of candles.
It is a lot of candles.
And she's probably also like, wait a minute. These candles are supposed to be for, like, my seances or, like, Christmas. Like, she probably has that many candles for a reason. Yeah. It probably stinks freaking so bad in there from all the candles.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them were those, like, tapered candles ones. They don't usually have smells, but
okay. So now we get Jen's story, and I didn't think we were going to get Jen Lindley in this episode. I thought that she was gone.
Yeah, but no, she's here. She's DJing. She's doing, like, a late night DJ.
Yeah, the overnight shift.
There's like a twig hitting the glass outside.
Yeah.
And so she goes outside and she, like, props the door open with a trash can, to make sure it doesn't close. And she's just, like, struggling to reach this branch. She's just, like, a little bit too short. Mm-hmm. And so she jumps and she breaks it. But of course, the door ends up closing.
This was a very amateur move. You should always bring your keys out with you.
Yeah, truly. And she can't get in there. And so she's so stupid. She pulls out her student ID to try to, like,
she's trying to jimmy it up. And actually, this was very exciting news because one of the greatest mysteries that we've had was, what college does Jen and Jack go to? And we finally find out, thanks to the student ID, and there is they go to Boston Bay College.
Yeah, it's a fake college, which we kind of figured, but
college. You know what's really fun? I was, like, trying to look up, like, oh, like, by any chance is Boston Bay, like, a real college? And I found this article from Harvard, the Harvard Crimson magazine, from October 18th, 2001. And it talks about the article is named Joey, Don't Go Here. And it says, Harvard students watching Dawson's Creek last Wednesday got quite a treat when Joey played Katie Holmes jogging on a, I don't know, it's cuts off. But basically, it's this whole article about from Harvard that they actually put out in their Harvard Crimson magazine about where the kids went to school. And it talks about Worthington and how, like, fictionally, like, it says Worthington College was founded in 1787 and has a undergrad population of 2,700 students. Like, it really outlines it.
Wow.
And then they talk about Boston Bay College. And then apparently that was founded in 1836 with an undergraduate population of 2,300 students. And it has, like, the motto. It even has, apparently the tuition in 2001 was and of course it's like, Harvard students, where are you getting this information from? And then I realized that they're Harvard students, so what would I know? So so basically I think that Boston Bay's tuition is $31,880. Who knew? Yeah, and that's apparently, according to this article.
So how's Graham supporting that in this, like, mansion in Boston?
I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But, oh, wait, here. Okay, so the acceptance rate for the class of 2005 How do you, what the fuck is this article? how do these people know this?
Oh my God.
Was 19%. Oh, okay. It was 19%. So Joey got in, and she was, because they graduate in 2005. That's why they're saying that. And it's tuition, of which Joey is paid for with the inheritance money Dawson received from Mr. Brooks, is $32,810. And this was in Duke University in North Carolina. Yeah, this is a very interesting article. So, and then it ends the article. For those students hoping to run into Joey, Jen, or Jack at Avalon one random weekend, don't get your hopes up. Instead, try summer school at Duke, and then maybe you'll have more luck. Of course, the fucking Harvard students are so pretentious and be like, yeah, as if you're not going to be able to see them there. Try Duke. I'm going to send you this article, and you can put it in the show notes, because it's a very funny article. And once again, I'm like, how the fuck do you know this, Harvard students? Like, where are you getting this from? Nonetheless,
they made it up.
Yeah, I don't think so. It seems very credible. But nonetheless, Boston Bay College, thank you very much for this interesting episode of Dawson's Creek to tell me the question that I've had on my mind for weeks now.
Yeah. And so Jen goes around like the back to try to get in the back entrance. And this is when she sees like a creepy like person in a raincoat just like standing there, or at least that's what she thinks it is.
Yeah.
But instead it's just a mannequin, and it falls down on her.
This reminded me very much of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Especially getting locked out, because that's what happened to Sarah Michelle Gellar and her sister.
Yeah.
At the clothing store that they ran.
And so she hears the record skipping, and somehow she gets the door open.
Somehow it, like, I think like the killer or whoever this guy is.
Exactly.
Opens it up and then places the ID on her desk.
Like, yeah, at her desk area. And she sees it. And so she's just like, what the fuck? And then she suddenly like hears her name being whispered.
Oh, yeah, it's like Jennifer. Jennifer. And then I love how she goes, say something. And it's like, he's saying your name. It's not like he's saying nothing.
Yeah. And then this like massive mannequin just like flies through the window.
Yeah. So I don't really know what's happening here. It is a little scary.
It's the least scary one, I think.
You think so? I felt like it was a little scary because it's like, who is this dude? Like, in, because he's kind of in the fishmonger costume. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
He is. And maybe it's an ode to that.
It feels
homage.
Like an ode. It does.
But I do love Graham's finishing her story with, no, that's a scary story.
That's the ringer of the episode. That's for sure. Okay. So you were not that scared by this.
Not at all. No, I thought this one wasn't very scary at all.
Where do you rank this in the enjoyable category?
So enjoyment wise I also felt like it was kind of like the least interesting, and I don't know if it's because it's just Jen, or maybe it's also because it's not even Jen telling the story, but like for me this is like both the least interesting and the least scary. Like my own personal ratings, I would say most scary is Pacey's, then Joey's, then Jack's, then Jen's. Mm-hmm. And in terms of like entertainment, I would say Joey's is number one with the bullet because of the kick to the face.
Yeah.
And then Jack, Pacey, Jen.
Okay. I guess for me, it is, in terms of, I'm just going to do enjoyment factor. Number one for me was Jack's story. I love a ghost story. Mm-hmm. Number two was Joey's. Number three was Jen's, and then number four was Pacey's, only because I've heard it a billion times. But if I had to take that out, I guess like Jen's story seemed the least like cohesive, and seemed like a little like what is happening here. Of course, it's the shortest. Joey's story was the longest. Like Joey's,
yeah,
just kept getting shorter and shorter as the episode went on. I was looking at the timestamp. When we got through Jen, when we got through Joey and Jack's stories, and I was like, how are we getting four stories? Because I didn't see it. Like, I was like, but we saw Pacey's story. Like, how are we getting four? But we, I mean, we got four. It was just that Jen's was like super short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Joey, Jen's is definitely like super, super short. And so after that, we have like the threesome of Joey, Pacey, and Jack talking about like, oh, going to bed and like, oh, mm-hmm. must be scary on that boat. Like, are you like really scared to go there? They're all just like kind of like messing with each other. And
yeah, they kind of, it's almost like we want to stay here at Graham's and together and be safe because we're too scared to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, of course, at this moment when they're all walking, we see like we're in the perspective of like a creeper, like a peeping Tom, just like peeking in through the windows.
Which actually, I feel like that is the scariest.
It's because that one is like real life. It's happening now.
Yeah. It's like, who's watching you through the window?
And it's like, Jennifer.
Jennifer. Jennifer.
And then it fades to black. And that's our ridiculous episode.
I had fun.
I think I had more fun discussing it than I did watching it.
And like, that's the thing. Like, that is kind of sometimes things that we run into when covering episodes of television, where it's kind of like the worse the episode is, oftentimes the more fun the podcast is. But
yeah.
I personally think I enjoyed it because, once again, I always am coming into things with such low expectations that when I actually watch something, I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. I mean, I had fun. Like, it did move the story forward. It was a little pointless. I don't think that, I think that, like, oftentimes these scary episodes, it's just like, what's the point? Because we started them because of Kevin Williamson. It's kind of like they're just like going through it. It's kind of also like the episodes that are like little mysteries, like the little like film noir episodes.
Oh yes,
we get like them almost seasonally, and I don't really enjoy them. Those I'm not a huge fan of, except for the one where like Abby Morgan is just like wreaking havoc and it's just like, I'm gonna solve all the mysteries of who fucked. Like, that was fun, but they have done it again and it hasn't been fun. So I mean it's fine. Like, it's fine, everybody, it's okay. I know we didn't get to hear like see like the fallout of Dawson and Jen, but it's okay.
We'll get that next episode, hopefully. I mean, this was a silly episode. I had fun discussing it. I just, like, it was one of the episodes that while I was watching, I was like, oh. Like, I was like, okay, here we are. Like, we're doing this, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's fine. Everything is fine. I did have fun chatting about it, even though I feel like it moves the story forward not at all. Like, there's just nothing new happening. But that's okay, because next week, like you said, we're gonna get the fallout from the Jen and Dawson of it all. And speaking of, I mentioned before, a little peeping Tom, we're not gonna be alone next week. We're gonna be joined by the one, the only, Tom Palmer.
I'm very excited for this. Yeah. He gave me the heads up that he was coming on soon, and I'm excited to welcome him back onto the show. To discuss something. I don't know. What's the episode title?
The episode title for next week is Appetite for Destruction.
Appetite for Destruction. Fascinating. That sounds like we're going to get some fallout, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It should be a fun episode.
The title alone is like exciting.
But also, we've been tricked before, because remember Sex, Lies, and Videotapes, and there was no sex.
Text. Don't remind me.
Text. There was no text. Lies or videotapes there.
I mean, I think the good news is I feel like Tom would pick a good one to come on.
That's my hope. Now, I got to tell you, nobody voted for the what's a better name for a human man question. They don't
this
care.
This is a lie. There are four votes.
Oh, is there?
You got to refresh.
I'm trying. Okay, so what's the winner? Because it's really not refreshing for me.
The winner with 100% of the votes currently is Tad.
Fair enough.
We'll update you. We'll update you next time. Also, please reach out and let us know if you've ever heard of this, like, legend of flashing your lights at a car without lights on, because I really want to know if that's a thing to know about.
Rank your preferences with the stories, whatever.
Yes, send that in. Also, let me know if you've heard about, like, flashing your lights at someone to warn them about a cop. Like,
oh yeah,
I want to know all of these things. But you could find us Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, and also shit90spod.com.
Yeah.
If you want to send in your feedback anytime about anything.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff coming out. We are on the verge of finishing up Boy Meets World. We are getting so dangerously close to finishing.
I know. I watched the third to last episode today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday. Angela's Ashes. And it's wild that we're so close to the end.
We're getting there. We are almost done with the show. So join us as we finish that out. You know what? Go into the archives. You could listen to all the Boy Meets World episodes.
Yeah.
They're there.
You want to hear something really fucked?
I do. Always.
In terms of our bonus content for December, we are currently at a three-way tie between Home Alone 2, Muppets Christmas Carol, and Batman Returns. 26, all three are 26%.
Oh man, does that mean While You Were Sleeping has not enough?
Yeah, it has 22.
That's sad.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're gonna. Does that mean that
what we're gonna
do
have to do is
movies?
We're gonna have to put out a second poll to determine the final two. I guess.
Sure.
Because what about the second poll? Because Twitter only allows you to do four things in one poll.
I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like those are kind of the first poll has 50 votes at least, and the second poll only got 16.
Oh well, that's terrible. Okay, so then maybe we choose if it's a three-way tie, we take those three and then we take the top winner from the second poll and put them into one poll.
Okay,
what's the top winner from the second poll currently?
If
it's Babe, I'm gonna throw myself off the roof.
I think it's I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, that's fine then.
No. I'll Be Home for Christmas is 50%, while Babe is at a 38%, and then a 6% of Miracle on 34th Street. Somebody wants us to actually cover a Christmas movie. Somebody out there.
Someone in the world. So we'll be releasing probably a second poll sometime soon. So make sure you go vote in that on Twitter at Show90sPod.
Yeah.
Sarah, what are you up to? What do you want people to check out?
Nothing. I don't know.
Same stuff, I think.
Same old.
Stuff. I'm covering Community. I'm covering Mythic Quest over on Posture Recaps. Go check both of those things out.
Phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. This was a pleasure.
Was this a business meeting? This feels like a business meeting now.
Yeah, this is when you and I or whatever, I'm it's always at 7 a.m. I'm oh, we need to have a business conference soon.
Business meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're always oh no, how important is this? And then it's never anything important.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's the game I play.
You love a business meeting.
Yeah. We always have to do. And it's always just very.
I'm always very underdressed for our business meetings.
How many turtlenecks do you think I bought on Black Friday?
Girl, I don't even I don't understand how you can still find them in colors that you don't already own.
I'm buying extra black turtlenecks.
Now, so how many black turtlenecks do you own? I guess is the question.
The limit does not exist.
I just don't understand. And is it a different style of turtleneck? Some cropped, some not.
But it's mostly the same exact shirt that I'm actually just buying more of.
I mean, you know what? If you like what you like, then there you go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's our episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
We'll be back next week with Tom, special guest Tom, on the next episode of Dawson's Creek. I think that's everything. So I hope you all had a really great spooky season. We'll talk to you all next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more?
With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.